What's going on?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. It's okay. We just got stuck on the tarmac for an extra 25 minutes because it was one of those, we have no grounds crew. So you're like, ah, after a long flight. But I'm connecting through Dallas and then into Calgary tonight. And then I'll go visit my son out in Kananaskis for part of the day tomorrow and then be back tomorrow night. So I haven't seen him in about a month because he's working at the golf course out there. So I figured I would connect through Calgary.
Oh, nice. Well, there you go. Yeah. The Colorado Avalanche with the, you know, they won this playoffs. They won with their offense. No doubt. It's the highest scoring we've seen in the 2000s, really the highest scoring goals per game since 1988. They averaged the most shots on goal per game all time amongst any team, you know, that gets into the third and fourth rounds. You know, playing 16 games. They were dominant offensively, but when they had to, they shut it down defensively in the third period of game six. And, you know, Darcy Kemper, you know, might have made his best save on Kucherov for the entire playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Pierre and I were watching the game, and, you know, we were like 4 or 5 minutes in, and I'm like, they don't have a shot yet. Like, where's the push? And then it was like 6, 7, 8 minutes in, and it was like, you got to start looking for their first shot here. And then they finally got one, but I think it came in from center. And then to your point, Greggs, I think they had like one grade A scoring opportunity in the period. You know, they pulled their goalie. There wasn't really much of a push there either. So I think there's two parts to it. I think you give Colorado a ton of credit because they did a really good job. They locked it down defensively. They had some really great performances that period. I don't know about you guys though, but watching in person, Tampa just ran out of gas. They just didn't have it. Their guys, they tried to dig down and find it for 20 minutes to try and salvage the season. And for the first time, they just didn't have it. The legs just weren't there.
Yeah, you know, I've been making that statement tonight. I thought that the games look, as through the final, they got slower. Right. And I think that's always difficult. And I think that's fatigue. I think that's injury. And that's just the grind of the playoffs as well. And not that Colorado looked as fast as they did earlier, but they had bursts of speed. And it was pretty rare we'd see a Tampa Bay player with a burst of speed.
Yeah, I mean, they just, you know, at different points in the series when they needed to, they could find it. But I just, in that third period, I was watching them, and it was like, and it wasn't just fatigue, like in terms of not having the legs necessarily that they needed. It was also like just having trouble making the simple play to complete the breakout or having trouble making the right play under pressure. Like, Colorado had another period of playoff-caliber hockey left in it, and Tampa Bay was hanging on. They had trouble getting there. I just think they were exhausted, and they were hurt. I mean, there was a point in that game they were down to four defensemen, you know, because both Chernak and Ruda were both hurt. Yeah. Like, they both got hit. I think, didn't Ruda's own teammate hit him?
Yep.
And then Chernak, I mean, Chernak was just, he was just black and blue all over the place, so... They hit a wall, man. They hit a wall, and Colorado threw down one of the most dominant periods defensively of the series when it mattered the most. So, yeah, get on them, man. They were the better team, in my opinion.
When you look at the coaching staff, obviously we know what Cooper's done, but what about Jared Bednar? I didn't see him smile post-game, but, you know, what is the sense you get out of him? Because this guy's been a winner as a coach his whole career.
But he also had to grind it out, Strati. I think he spent like 14 or 15 years in the East Coast League between playing and coaching. And like, this is a guy that really had to put in his time to get to the National Hockey League. So, you know, to your point, he wins at the East Coast League. Excuse me, wins in the American Hockey League. Now he wins here. He's very calm. You know, I think he's got a great team to work with first and foremost, but he came in under tough circumstances, and the general manager stuck with him through some lean times. And he was allowed to kind of grow into that role, and seems on side with his top guys. He lets them do their thing, and just really calm and relaxed. And I like the way he handles his media availability. He's a no BS kind of guy. And I mean, good for him, man. He's won at all levels, but that guy paid his dues big time.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And remember, his rookie season was when Patrick Waugh had left, right? He got the job with, I don't know, a month left in the offseason. And then his first year was they had the worst record in the NHL. They were awful that season. And that's the year it's funny, they keep Bednar on, and they lost the draft lottery, Shogger. Whereas, you know, you think about Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby, winning the draft lottery was big. The fact that Colorado lost the draft lottery allowed them to take Cale Makar, because they're kind of on record as saying they wouldn't have taken him first overall had they won the lottery.
Yeah, and you know, like sometimes you need to have little things like that go your way, you know, like winning the draft lottery isn't always the, you know, the blessing that you not immediately think it'll be. And the draft is tough, right? Like you don't always know, especially in a weaker year. So they ended up with by far the best player and a huge difference maker, just an unbelievable player, top few players on the planet right now. Going to be so much fun to watch. But Joe Sakic kind of had to stay the course, right? His core players needed to make the decision to stick around through what was going to be a rebuild. It was not easy for them. And we interviewed Joe. We talked to him about this last night, and he talked about the patience that it took and how hard it was. But he had a vision, and he stayed the course, and ownership bought into his vision and gave him the space. Remember how much we used to criticize him for being, you know, like he just wouldn't make deals. He would just sit on his hands and sit on his hands and sit on his hands. Well, look at the way he operates, man. Like, look at the patience he showed on the Duchesne deal. Look at the, you know, his moves this year. Like, he really found his stride as a GM and has put his stamp on this thing.
Well, that Matt Duchesne's are joined by Ryan Reshock. That trade was just an absolute windfall. And I remember I was critical. What's he doing? Why isn't he making this move? What's he waiting for, right? Just absolutely crazy. Now, Bowen Byram. There's no doubt Cale Makar got a lot of love, but I thought Bowen Byram was unbelievable, especially in the last few games there for the Avs. What do you look like up live?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think his even strength minutes were right up there with pretty much anybody else. Like, they played him a ton. And this is a guy that got elevated because of injury. I mean, it's not like he was a regular all year long and played 82 solid games of this kind of minutes. Like, so for him to be doing what he's doing at his experience level, like, this is a number one defenseman potentially in the making on a team that already has one and as solid a two as you'll find in Devon Taves, right? So they have an embarrassment of riches on the blue line. And there's not going to be enough room on this team for Cale Makar and Bowen Byram, I don't think. I mean, if you're Bowen Byram's people, you got to get him somewhere where he's going to get top power play unit time and be able to be big, big, big minutes. I don't know if he can make it work in Colorado. I mean, we'll see. But fantastic. Fantastic player, competitor, doesn't get rattled. People try and be physical on him. He just absorbs it. Really good kid. Lots of spunk and attitude and just really, really lots of character. He's unreal, man. He's on his way to being a number one D-man here in a few years.
Shogger, now the offseason officially is underway. I believe Tyson Barrie will be traded before the end of the draft. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it since the season ended, right? Of the regulars that are there right now, you know, I believe that Barrie and Puljujärvi are probably the two most likely to go. We'll see how it shakes out. But I do believe that there's a good chance Barrie goes. I think, you know, they're going to want to change the shape of things back there a little bit, defend in a bit of a different way, clear up some cap space potentially. So, yeah, it makes sense. Evan Bouchard's ready to evolve into that role in a lot of ways. It's not that Barrie isn't a really valuable player, and it's going to be tough for them because he's a really well-liked teammate, and he's a really well-liked guy in that room, and you need more of those guys, not less of them, but the cap is the cap. And so I think there's a good chance we see that happen. And then we'll wait and see on Puljujärvi.
Yeah, when you look at it, I mean, obviously the Oilers have a lot of stuff to figure out. But, I mean, the draft is coming up pretty quick, as are decisions required from Keith and Mike Smith. You know, and I get you don't want to pressure them, but the team needs to know, you know. And so I think that to me, those are two big things that I'd want to know as soon as possible so I can prepare. Because, you know, if one opt-in or one opt-out or two opt-in or two opt, like, every single combination could drastically change an offseason.
Yeah, there's no way that they'll go into the draft not knowing what the intentions are from both guys. I'd heard July 1st before, but it'll be before the draft. They'll take the time they need, they'll make their decisions, and they'll give the Oilers the notice they need heading into the draft so that they can act appropriately. You know, none of those guys is going to want to hurt the organization.
Yeah.
And I think we know that keeping it ambiguous would be hurting them. So they will get those answers. I don't think they have them yet, but they'll get them, and then they'll be able to adjust accordingly. And I'm not sure which way it's going to go. My gut on Mike Smith is that he's probably not going to be back. Duncan Keith, I'm not so sure. The info on that one is a little bit sketchier, but I think there's a chance that he could be. But they'll know by the draft. There's just no way that they're not going to get those answers.
Yeah, well, Ken Holland was on here. Ken Holland said he told the boys that he would reach out this week, right, the end of June,
yeah.
And said, you know, if they don't know then, but he would like to know for sure by the, I think what was the date, was he said the 5th or the 6th, so at the latest.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely before the draft, because obviously there's that's kind of trade week, and then you go from there. Like, I could
you
see
got
Mike Smith.
Too, right? Like, you got all your meetings, so you need that information when you start your pro and amateur meetings heading into the draft.
Yeah, and I think, like, Mike Smith, I could see Mike Smith just going on LTI, right? Not walking away from $2.5 million, but saying, hey, guys, I'm physically unable to play. Here's why. Okay. And then they plan for that accordingly. And then, Keith, man, like, I got the sense he really loved it, but then does he love the off-season training again? That's going to be the challenge, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what his deal is. If he, I don't know, he struck me as a guy that, I mean, I think he's always kept himself in great shape. I don't know why he would balk all of a sudden at this stage, but yeah, if he's had enough, he's had enough, man. He's that guy's earned the right to make whatever decision he wants to make.
100%.
You know, so if it's if he wants to, shut her down and you know, start eating and drinking like the rest of us, he definitely earned that. so God love him if he does, man. That's good for him. But yeah, he came in and he was good for them. You know, he held up his end of the bargain as an Oiler, I think, and now he'll. You know, he'll make some decisions about his future and his family, but they are two big ones. Like, that's a lot of cap space you're talking about. So they need some answers, and then the hunt begins for a goaltender.
Shauger, have a safe flight home. We will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, good to talk to you guys. Yeah.